The song Send the Light really is appropriate for our lesson. I didn't ask for it, but it fits very well. Always reminds me of the, for some strange reason, the sinking of the Titanic. You may recall from various accounts or your study or maybe a movie you've seen about that sad event, about the sinking of the Titanic. After they struck the iceberg, they had quite amount of a time before the ship actually sank. Some hours, a couple hours, maybe longer than that. I'm not sure. I forget. But they were within sight. I mean, they could see the lights of another ship way off on the horizon. And they had tried the newly devised signal for help. It was SOS. And it was brand new and at that time. And the other ship heard the signal, but they weren't quite sure what they were trying to say. And the other ship asked, "Is this the distress signal that we're supposed to be looking for?" And the operator at that time said, "I'm not sure." And so, because the signal wasn't sent again, at least not the SOS, they decided to shut down the radio shack for the night and retire. And the other ship kind of went on its way. They could have been there and saved every person, but the timing was wrong, and the signal went out poorly, and they weren't sure what the signal was. There was all that time. Now, the reason that I make mention of that is because we're going to be dealing with this in this lesson this morning about time. Those who were looking for a bulletin when you got here this morning, they're there now because they arrived late. That's because I arrived late, and I want to apologize for coming in late because it's inappropriate. But I was out of town and had misjudged my travel time. And so once again, there's another illustration of time and redeeming the time, making the most of time and treating time correctly and accurately and rightly, because it is a precious commodity. It's kind of like life. You don't want to throw it away. It's, in some instances, a sin to kill time. We need to be very sensitive to time and about time and using our times wisely. This is exactly what Paul was teaching in Ephesians in the parallel in Colossians that Zach read for us in the Ephesian account, to redeem the time or make the most of your opportunities, as someone said. The literal translation of that, redeeming the time, is a little bit different than that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that's what we need to be careful of, is with time, redeeming the time. We want to then talk about this particular subject. And first of all, let's get the context in which this statement is found about redeeming the time. The context shows several contrasts, in Ephesians chapter 5. He is contrasting wisdom and foolishness. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not foolish, but be wise. Again, he contrasts between that which is holy and that which is evil in this context. He'll contrast men and women of understanding as opposed to those who are ignorant in their sin and so on. So there's some things that he is contrasting. Now we'll learn a few more specifics about these. Let me just back up and look at those three again. Wisdom and foolishness, holiness and evil, understanding and ignorance. Now watch. If we put all those points together, here's what we learn. That it's the unwise fool who wastes time. That's really the message of the context of the first portions of Ephesians chapter 5. And this unwise person who wastes his time is actually overlooking evil, or will be guilty of or fall into the folly of overlooking evil and will forget what the will of the Lord is. That's one of the last things he says from our reading. Don't be foolish and don't forget what the will of the Lord is. So, there's some things then in the text, a little more specifically, some things that we're not to forget to avoid. There's some things we need to avoid. Don't forget them. You see, if they're things to avoid, we don't want anything to do with them, then why should we think about them? Well, because if we will think about them, we'll recognize them when they come along and remember to avoid them. So there are some things in the world, some sinful things, wicked things that we need to kind of keep in the forefront, not to practice and do and think on and harbor, worry about, but to always be aware of. Oh, wait, that's one of those things I need to avoid. That's one of those things I need to be aware of, to stay away. Verses 3 through 5, I've listed them this way as internal sins. Verses 3 through 5 of Ephesians 5, if you're looking there, here's what they are. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness. These are things that happen within the heart. Oh, the body will be involved, obviously. Fornication and uncleanness, and well, really all these things. But they start here in the heart. Jesus said so in Mark chapter 12. We come to verse 6 and we find then some external things, some actions that are involved that we're to avoid, such as empty words and those who are deceptive, those who are trying to make spoil of you, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. What Steve taught us about on Wednesday evening, an excellent reminder. That is, there are some who will try to make you captive, take you spoil. And he well pointed out the spoil there in our older English versions isn't mean like a rotting piece of meat, but rather the plunder of an invading army. That's what he's talking about. And Steve reminded us of that. And so, once again, this sometimes comes because of empty words and deception. We talked about that just last week, didn't we? About deception. There are some things we are not to forget from verses 7 through 11. And those are, first of all, do not be a partaker with them. With those who are involved in such things, don't be partakers. Don't go back to darkness. We're children of light, you see. We've come out of darkness and now we're in the light. I think verse 8 will remind us. A parallel to that is Paul's admonition to those in Thessalonica, reminding us that we are sons of the light, sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. We don't belong to those things anymore. So don't go back to them. Since we're not going to go back to them, we need to constantly be reminded that those things surround us all the time. All the time. They're around us all the time. And so as we redeem the time and make the most of every situation, there are some things that will tell us. Some of these things that we've been talking about, external, internal sins, things not to do, don't forget, that'll attack your time and steal your time and waste your time. Stay away from them. Don't go back to the darkness. Do not have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Because if you do, according to what John would teach in 2 John verses 9 through 11, you're a partaker with them. Even if you say, well, have a good day. Don't waste your time, friends. Let me illustrate it this way. Don't waste your time on those who come and knock at your door and they've got a watchtower in their hand or they've got a Book of Mormon in their hand. They are not there to listen to you. Don't waste your time. Now, if they want to give you the material, take it. I wouldn't buy it. I think they used to give it away. Now they want to sell it to you. I usually will tell them, well, listen, I don't have money for this, but I'd sure like it if you'd give me that. I'd really like to look at it because there are two things that will happen, two things that are accomplished by this. Number one, that's one piece of literature that they don't have to mislead somebody else. Deserves to go in the trash. False doctrine. I hate every false way. Psalm 119, verse 104. Don't you agree with me? I hate every false way. And so that's just a piece of something that can go in the trash. Number two, perhaps before we throw it away, maybe we won't throw it away. Maybe we'll use it as information to guard ourselves, prepare ourselves how best to answer when that teaching comes along, when that person tries to push their error and their doctrine. Perhaps I can use it as information, as ammunition in my arsenal to help my younger brothers and sisters, my inexperienced brethren, who don't know how to handle these kinds of things. I use that material. You might could use that material. But brethren, don't waste our time when they come and knock on the door and this Mormon elder, you know, this 18-year-old kid, not married, no children, this elder wants to study with you. He's not there to listen. Friends, don't waste your time with those kinds of things. Don't be partakers. And whatever you do, this is the point I was actually trying to get at. And whatever you do, don't say, well, have a good day. Bless you on your work. You've become a partaker of his evil if you do that. I hope that the Mormon missionaries, when they're in my neighborhood knocking on the doors, I hope they don't have a good day. I hope they get a flat tire on their bicycles. I do. I want to slow them down. Now, wait a minute. Should I wish for evil upon people? Well, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't go that far. But I'm not going to wish them a good day. I don't want them to be successful. I don't want the JWs to be successful. Or anybody else who's out teaching error. I do not want them to be successful. And I surely we can agree on something like that. In this way, all those things that we're looking at in Ephesians, we will be imitators of God. That's chapter 5, verse 1. That's where we started. Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. And this is part of how we can be imitators of God, avoiding certain things, remembering certain things to keep away from because they're going to waste our time. Don't be involved in these things. It's going to steal our time. Don't be partakers with them. Let's redeem the time, make the most of our opportunities, and buy that up. Buy up the time. That's what this word redeem means. It means to buy up like as at an auction. Anybody ever been to an auction? You know how it works. Here's the item. Here's the opening bid, perhaps, or they ask for an opening bid. Somebody says a bid. Somebody counters that, two or three, four, maybe, until finally somebody says any further, going once, twice, sold. You have purchased up that item. Our time needs to be bought up because we know the value of it. We need to learn the value of time, incidentally. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Time is precious. It's a precious commodity. Don't waste it. Don't kill it. Don't throw it away. And so we purchase that opportunity by, instead of saying, oh, well, you know, I guess I should, maybe I ought to, and, you know, if I had more time, I would, make the time to do that which is good and right. Buy up those opportunities. Those people on the Titanic, if the folks in the radio shack of this other ship, I used to know who that was, I forget who it was now, the name of that ship. If the fellows there were on the ball, they could have saved those, but they wanted to, it was late, 2 o'clock in the morning, couldn't get any more response from the radio, they just shut down the radio shack, went to bed. Instead of maybe using that opportunity to go and find out what this flare was all about, go and find out what this radio message was, to buy those opportunities, to buy up like as at an auction. We need to understand something about time. You know, time is just a parenthesis in eternity. Now, we've talked about this a time or two. Isn't it interesting how many times the word time comes into your conversation? We've talked about this a time or two. Where will you spend eternity? Do you spend eternity? I don't think you can, really. Where will you live? Where will you spend your time in eternity? Well, there isn't any, because time is a parenthesis in eternity. If you look at eternity like this, here's this little piece here of eternity, which maybe it's better if it's a circle because it never ends. And this is time. God invented it for us, for our convenience, for our existence on this earth, because we are finite. That means we have an end. But eternity is infinite. That's like God, you see. He never ends, never started. Isn't that strange? He never started. He never ends, never will. And for some reason, he created time and put us in there. What was he doing before that? Can you even say before that? Because that indicates a passage of time. Those are things that are just too deep for me. I can't grasp them. But time really is just a parenthesis in eternity. Time belongs to mankind. This we know from God's willingness to share with us of why he invented it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, he talks about the lights in the firmament that were going to divide the day from the night. They'll be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Time he created for you and me, not for himself. Paul would expand this a little bit in Acts chapter 17, preaching to those heathens in Athens about all their various gods. And then there's the one true God that he was going to try to explain to them. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He created all of us, the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in it. He's not served by your hands. You can't help him out. By the way, you know that word that he is not served by men's hands in Acts 17? Maybe your Bible will say not worship with men's hands is our Greek term. We bring it over into English. It's the word therapy. You've got nothing to offer to God. You don't. Now, he requires something of you, and he prescribes something that only you can fill, but you can't give him therapy. You can't help him in any way. He is all in all. He doesn't need anything from you. But fortunately, he wants something from us. He wants our love and our dedication, our worship and our service and so on. But in verse 26, he talks about this one who has of one, King James Bible says, one blood, created all of mankind, and has established the bounds of their habitations, and he has set them up for a season. You see, a season is just a limited piece of time. God created that for you and me. Eternity, however, is where God lives, and we'll join him there one of these days, and where we'll no longer have any days. But we'll join him there, and time will be no more. Isaiah 57, verse 15, the Bible declares that high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity. That's where God lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 6, Paul describes this one whom we call the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And be advised, in chapter 6, that King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not Jesus. Although he's called that in the Revelation, it's not him in this passage. It's God. It's the Father who is immortal, invisible. He's the only one that has immortality. whom no man hath seen nor can see. Well, that can't be Jesus. A lot of men saw him. But this has to be the Father. In fact, Jesus said, no one can see the Father and live. But I've seen him, and I'm declaring him to you. And so eternity, description of eternity and the one who lives there, belongs to God. But he has consented to allow us to move there and live with him forevermore when this life is done. But we need to be prepared. That's why time is valuable. Time is a precious commodity that God has given us. It is right now. It's not. You know, the time that does not exist. When we started this sermon, that time is gone. It no longer exists. It belongs to eternity. God, I think, can look at it, but you and I can't. All we can do is remember it and think back on it. But it no longer exists. The only thing that exists is not 5 minutes from now. It may never come. The only thing that exists is right now. Time is valuable. What shall we do with our time? Time that is past is no longer time. It is eternity. It belongs there. Time will not pass in eternity. We're not spending our time in eternity, because time is no more there. Time does not exist there. As long as the earth remains, and that should be a key to us, Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth stands, there's going to be the passage of time. When the earth is no more, time is no more. There's going to be seed time and harvest, and there's going to be cold and hot, and there's going to be summer and winter and day and night. As long as the earth stands, time is going to continue to pass. But one of these days, according to Peter, all these things are going to be burned up. The elements are going to melt with fervent heat, intense heat, and everything's going to be burned up, and it's going to be gone. And that means time is going to cease. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. In verse 11, we find the beginnings description of the great judgment scene. There is one who sat upon the throne from whose face heaven and earth fled. Now, if heaven and earth flees and runs away and is destroyed and the sea is no more, time has ceased. Time will cease when God takes his seat on that judgment seat. When that day comes, if we can call it a day, well, the Lord called it a day, I will too. When that day, that time comes, time is no more. Then we jump down to chapter 21 and verse 1, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Now the materialists in our society want to make the claim that that means there's a recreation of the earth. And, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses want to live here forever. I don't. I want to go to heaven. But they can have this earth. It's going to be burned up. And unfortunately, if they don't repent and obey the gospel, they're going to be burned up with it. In chapter 21 and verse 1 then, what is this new heaven and new earth? Well, if the sea is no more, why isn't there a new sea also? John didn't say anything about that. Brethren, this is a vision. This is a descriptive language of something that's absolutely brand new, new out of character, not chronology. New character, something different that God is going to do, and that's eternity. Not this earthly globe any longer. It's gone. It's going to be burned up. You cannot kill time. I mentioned that twice, and here's the third time I'm mentioning it. You cannot kill it. But you know what? Wasting it may lead to your death physically. Don't kill time. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Among other things, Paul tells us as justified, righteous folks, we are to be fervent in our works and not slothful. This doesn't mean that there's not a time to relax occasionally. We know we have to do that. We know that Jesus did. He departed, spent some time in prayer, no doubt was resting. There's a time to relax. We understand that. But that ought not to be your principal occupation or calling. Loafing. There are things to be done. And so we need to be cautious and build buy up the time, not waste that time. Time wasters are called idle busybodies by Paul in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. They're wasting their time. And not only so, they not only have learned to be idle, but they'll go from house to house being tattlers and helping somebody else to waste their time. Listen. If you want to waste your time, that's up to you. But don't take it upon yourself to come and waste mine with you. Okay? And I'll try not to do the same to you. Let's not waste each other's time. There's a time for relaxation and frivolity. A time for relaxing and having some fun and eating a meal and playing a game and just doing nothing. There's a time for that. But let's not allow that to be our chief occupation. Time. This is a little poem that I found some years ago, and I think it's so expressive of what I'm trying to say. I didn't write this, but I really like it. Time. I only have a minute, just 60 seconds in it, given to me. Can't refuse it. I didn't seek it. I didn't choose it. I will suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. I only have a minute, but eternity is in it. How you use your time, God will judge. How have you used your time this morning? How will you use it today? How are you using it now? God will judge how we use our minutes as they pass into eternity. Queen Elizabeth I, this is a quote I'm given to understand. She said, I will give all my possessions for just one moment more. You know when she said that? When she breathed her last and died. She wanted just one more moment. I suspect that was a gal who didn't have a proper grasp of eternity. You know, I don't want to die. The thought of dying isn't pleasant to me. It's scary. Is it painful? I don't know. It can be, I think. Doesn't have to be, I suppose. But death doesn't hold any fear for me. And it seems to me, it just seems to me, that a right-thinking person who's a Christian, got their grasp of eternity, is going to welcome that time when they can breathe their last and go home and be with the Lord. It seems to me. Well, anyway, let's consider the urgency of time. Now, from our text, you know, when he says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Here's the urgency. We are completely surrounded by evil and wicked things. You know that. We made mention of that at the earlier part of our lesson. And so because these days are evil, we need to make the most of our time, use those opportunities for service, for one another, for our master, for our bodily exercise, and for our meals, and for sleep, and just all of our health, mental and physical. We need to use it properly and not waste time. We can't know the value of time until we know the value of 1 second. I think it's interesting that the first century folks probably didn't have an awful lot of concept of what a second was. In fact, I'm not sure they had the concept of what a minute was. But they did know the hours. They marked the hours. A sundial, you know, sundials are ancient. And they knew about hours. And the fact there's just 24 of them, or a part of 24, a part of 25 of them in a day. And so they knew about that. You know, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 about those false teachers who were brought in privily, despised our liberty. He says, we did not put up with them for not even an hour. Why didn't he say not even a second? Does that mean we can put up with false teachers for 55 minutes, but after that, buddy, they're done? No. I think they didn't have a concept of minutes and seconds, but you and I do. In fact, we've got concept of nanoseconds now in the computer world, don't we? We know that there's some time passing there. We need to know the value of that time. Here's what Job said about it in Job chapter 7 and verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Now, who among this group here this morning whose hair is gray or graying doesn't say and doesn't realize, my, how fast the days are going by, how fast the years are going by. Wasn't that way when I was a kid, but boy, look at it now. Look how fast time goes by. Every one of us know that. These little girls don't know that. They're not old enough yet. They will one day. Oops, let me back up there. Almost forgot chapter 14. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know, he comes forth like a flower and is cut down and is like a shadow that fleeth and remaineth no more or continueth not, depending upon your version. Time is just so swift and goes by so fast. We need to know the value of time, because before you know it, we'll be gone. We'll be gone. Someone in this house this morning is losing their beloved family member. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But I don't doubt that as that one thinks about their sister, thinks about all the years past and suddenly how fast time has gone. And soon they'll be gone. Time is uncertain. This we learn from James chapter 4, verse 14. You don't know what your life's going to be like on the morrow. You're like a little vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. And Proverbs 27, verse 1, I think this is probably where James may be even quoting part of this when he says, boast not thyself of the morrow, because you don't know what it's going to be. How long is our life? Psalm 90 and verse 10. How long is our life? 70. Maybe by reason of strength, 80. You know how long that is? 80 years. So Now, we know that there are some who live longer than that, surely. I mean, this isn't a guarantee when you turn 80, you're gone. There are some who, I just heard of the oldest living person, they think it was, in, was that in California? Did I hear, did anybody hear that on the news? 115 years old. She just passed away. But I'll bet 2 days ago, if she was conscious, I don't know what her condition was, I'll bet she was able to think back on her life and think, wow, how fast everything went by. And now she's gone. Time is uncertain. We don't know what the tomorrow's going to be, or this afternoon even. And so we learn this. Here's what the Bible is telling us. 1 minute ago is past. It's gone. It's in eternity. Can't call it back. 1 minute from now, we are uncertain of. We don't know. But we can do something now. It's time to get busy. This is what the Bible is telling us. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, as he's closing out his letter to these Christians, he's reminding them of the wickedness and the evil that's surrounding them, and he says, it is time to wake up. So let me say that with Paul. Brethren, wake up. It's time to wake up. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. So let's cast off these works of darkness and be righteous folks. The time is getting away from us for us to obey the gospel, for us to be the right kind of people, to repent and change and turn away from our sins if we're guilty of something, and to get busy for the Master. John chapter 9 and verse 4, this is what Jesus was teaching, that this is the time that we've got to work. It's in the daytime. This is when we do our work, because night and cut is coming when no man can work. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, this is what Mordecai said to his little cousin about time and kingdom. He says, who knows whether you're in the kingdom for such a time as this? Brethren, who knows whether you're here just for this lesson to remind you of the brevity of life? And so don't leave this house today if you're not a Christian. Don't leave this house today if you're out of sorts with the Lord. If you need to repent, confess, this is the time to do that. That's what he's telling us. Now is the right time, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. That's the passage that tells us that today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, because you don't have any other. You don't have a minute from now. You don't have last minute. It's time to obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. You don't obey the gospel, then, my friend, you're going to suffer eternity in hell. It's time to grow. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. As we speak the truth in love, we're to grow up unto him who is the head of all things, even Christ. Time to grow up. And stop acting like children, if that happens to be the case for us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge. It's time to do that. It's time to increase your knowledge of spiritual things. And take these things seriously. Brethren, we set a time for attendance. We need to be here. I apologize for being late. But brethren, when we're late habitually, there is no excuse for that. You don't do that for work. You don't do that for school. Don't do it to the Lord and your brethren. It's time to be holy. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. We are holy because God has called us holy. Because he's holy. We are his children. And he expects us to use this time, this precious commodity, correctly. And so let's do so. It's time to teach others. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. The things that Paul told Timothy, he was to entrust to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. I've learned some things, and I want to pass them on to my children and on to my brethren. And I hope that there might be something, I say, in the years that we spend together that you can maybe teach somebody else if it's worthy, if it's valuable, if it's biblical. In this way, this is our last passage, and the lesson is done. In this way, we can conclude it is time to seek the Lord. This is the only time we have. We may not finish this song. But this is the time to seek the Lord. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, maybe you need to become a Christian, put him on in baptism. Repenting of your sin, turning away from your error, confessing his name as the Son of God, be buried with him in baptism so he can wash away your sins. Because he's coming back who knows when. Any moment now. Maybe you've already been obedient to the gospel, but you have been frivolous with that commodity that God has given. Brother or sister, repent of that. Apologize to your father and be determined to do better from this second onward. How can we help you? This is the time to let us know while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.